Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Ooh, welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're going to do a little football talk. I'm talking college and NFL. We'll even recap some of our fantasy football teams. And maybe we'll talk basketball or baseball, because who knows? Anything could happen on the Charity Stripe. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they're free. So 287 coming hot at you guys. Then so 286, and I'm joined on this one by Nikki Snacks Creta and Alex Tossing the Rock Tassopoulos. Gentlemen, how are you guys?
Doing well. Happy Halloween, guys.
Oh, thank you. I wasn't with you guys for Halloween.
Yeah, where were you?
I was in Joshua Tree with some college friends.
Joshua in Joshua Tree.
Yes. Have you been?
I have not, actually.
Have you been, Toss?
I have not.
I've heard wonderful things.
I really did. I actually was like expecting to be underwhelmed, because I prefer like a lush forest when I'm going to a national park, something with like, it's a little more damp. I'm like, yeah. You know what, maybe like
you go in the desert, but
yeah, I'm not like a huge desert guy to begin with, but this was, it was a lot colder than I thought it was going to be. It was a good breeze. A lot of the rock climbing was fun and ended up being a really great time.
I have high expectations because of Rufus DeSoul's Joshua Tree set.
We watched that.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know,
Nick loves it.
Rufus is an amazing,
yeah,
like kind of indie, I didn't even rock know electronic band, but they did this amazing set at Joshua Tree with a great director, a great cam and crew, and it was beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, I've seen you get emotional about it. In public.
Oh, yeah. I'm emotional right now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a mess.
If I had to put money on that, if we put that set on in public, if Nick were to cry, the odds would probably be minus 300. What do you think the odds would be on our sponsor, Toss?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Okay.
But they definitely would have that bet. Yeah. You could definitely make that bet. You could also, Nick, I hate to do this to you, but yeah, you could also make the bet of Ben DiNucci passing yards at betonline.ag.
What, did you lose that bet by a yard?
Nick, tell us about that bet. You have to tell us about that bet.
Ben DiNucci?
Third string quarterback stepping in for the Dallas Cowboys as their starter tonight against the Eagles.
Yeah, I touched up the live line on his over-under for passing yards in this game. He was sitting at, I think, 69 or 67 yards at halftime.
We'll call it 69.
At halftime, yeah, nice. 69. And the over-under for the live line was 179.5. And we were looking good. We were looking really good.
You were looking so good.
And the fourth quarter, they were just going with these garbage time pass plays. And literally the last play of the game was a screen, I think, to Michael Gallup.
Yeah, just to pass out in the flat.
What the?
And he ended with 180 yards, so I lost that bet by a half point or a half yard.
Yeah, brutal. I'm sorry that happened. So
I had two really bad beats this week, actually.
What was the other one?
I took the Alabama Mississippi State game, and the original line for that was 28.5. I think I had it 27.5, but I also live lined it again at 40.5. Now, they're waxing Mississippi State the entire game, but they're still within reach. You know, one touchdown could make them back in cover town for both, obviously. I thought 40.5 looked really good. And Alabama scores a touchdown but they to put it at 40, but they call it back. And I'm like, oh, great, I'm fine. There's like 4 minutes left. Mississippi State's going to get the ball. They have the ball. They throw a pick six, and they win 41-0. And, yeah, that's another bad beat. Lost by a half point there as well.
That's
unfortunately hard. Nick didn't end up with money in his pockets, but BetOnline did. BetOnline.ag. We're happy to give money back to our sponsor. We love our sponsor because they in turn bring money to us. There are our online sportsbook experts. Go to BetOnline.ag and get some off on your sign up bonus today. Yeah, that's all there is on the betting front there. Nick, I'm sorry that happened. Those are rough bad beats.
You win some, you lose some.
Can't get a laugh like that anywhere else in the world.
Hate to see Ben DiNucci do it to you.
Fuck that guy.
I mean, he's terrible. He was really, really bad for the Cowboys. We'll get into the...
Yeah, please.
There's not really much to get into there. I mean...
Well,
You mentioned, Nick, are they going to be picking in the top five? They easily could be.
So can the Patriots, by the way, who also stink on ice. But we'll get to... I want to mention my bad beat because we were in Joshua Tree and the trip was not... I wouldn't say it was cost effective. And by that, I mean when we bought 20 pounds of salmon for 18 people.
You guys were glamping.
Yeah, we were glamping, to say the least.
Which is glamour camping for anyone who doesn't know what that term is.
I know you probably both would have been down for this. We're on the top of a mountain Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon. I go, guys, listen, the trip all in all has probably cost us $6,000 to $8,000 as a whole.
Oh, I know this already. You told me this, but
I wanted to share it for the fans, the audience out there. $6,000 to $8,000 total. I go, we should leave this park with a double or nothing situation. We put all the money we've spent on everything on Ohio State spread against Penn State. And either we go home down double or this whole damn thing is free. And everyone looked at me like I was nuts. And obviously Ohio State covered. We could have gone on that trip for free.
That's not a bad beat, though.
It's
a missed opportunity.
That's a bad beat in my mind because I have one good idea.
Well,
here.
I mean, you could have doubled down yourself, and
I'm not
your trip
alone.
Could have
I'm
been
I'm not
for
riding
free.
Alone.
Oh, okay. I mean, lead by example.
No one would have followed me.
I feel like you'd get a couple stragglers.
Yeah, I probably should have pushed harder.
Know our buddy George would have been in on it.
Yeah, George. Everyone was watching the game afterwards, and everyone was like, oh, $10,000. Here we go, boys. $10,000 on the line on this one. And then they missed a field goal, and everyone was like, oh, like you're sweating bullets right now. Yeah. We know you are. But they won.
I'm willing to do that one of these days. We go on a trip, and we see how much the trip costs us, and we'll just double down on it, you know?
That'd be epic.
Let's do it.
I feel like the trip where that really makes sense is Vegas, when you go to Vegas.
Yeah.
And, you walk
that
in.
That gets a little dangerous, though.
Very dangerous.
Like you're trying to cover. I feel like most people go to Vegas trying to cover their trip anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And they end up getting in a hole, and it's like,
right.
Are you a big Vegas guy?
No, not really. I mean, I've been a few times, and I mean, once was a really fun time, like when I was first 21, and then went to a bachelor party during COVID time, and like it's just not very, it's not fun when you're losing money, and I've never really
exactly. I don't want to go to a bachelor party with the boys and lose a bunch of money, which I will. I'm not gonna
The issue for me is usually like with non-COVID, like Vegas is fun because you can go to clubs, you can go to pool parties, day clubs, you can go to bars, great restaurants. That's not really a thing.
Oh,
during
so
COVID.
Now at times you don't.
So
like
now,
it.
So now it's like, well, yeah. So now, like, what do we do tonight? Oh, well, the casinos are still open, so we're gambling for 3 days straight, and there's no way to kind of
you can't
recover.
Come out. Yeah, you can't come out on top.
Vegas
you kind of have
wins.
To. You kind of have to space it out.
House always wins.
Yeah,
it does. It does.
Yeah. They're a multi-billion-dollar industry, and they got there for a reason.
Yeah,
And the people, or I guess maybe it's not even the people, but it's the machines that create these lines are just absolutely on point. Oh, I mean, how crazy the Benvenucci line. I keep bringing it up.
A live line, too.
It was a live line. Yeah, and you were half a point away. That's crazy. Half a yard away.
Same thing with the live Alabama line. 40 and a half. They won by 41.
It's insanity. It's insanity.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
It's very, very impressive.
Sorry to cut you off, but I mean, there's professional gamblers out there that have their own systems, you know, that have their own algorithms or handicappers, but professional sharps.
Do you remember that one we knew?
That's what they do.
We knew one.
Yeah, I know.
Tony Capicola.
Oh, Tony Capicola.
Down by the docks.
Tony Caps.
Tony Capicola.
The best Kappa alive.
Yeah, Tommy Swiss Cheese.
Big Vegas guy.
Speaking of,
we actually do know the goat hand capper though. B-Lang. Shout out B-Lang. The football betting show. Go check out the football betting show on the Believe Podcast Network, hosted by Scott Seidenberg.
Yeah.
And the legendary Brandon Lang.
I'm not like a huge like shout out kind of person. I feel like none of us are. I will always shout out B-Lang.
No, you should. I haven't listened to their show in a while, but he has the best stories I've ever heard in my entire life. They are all over the place. You want to know about Vegas trips? That guy's got 15-plus Vegas trips.
Yeah. Did he get married in Vegas?
Yeah, he met his wife at a strip club. She was working.
That was her shift.
Yeah, speaking of ridiculousness, let's get into a segment. You gotta be kidding me.
Oh, the Rob Dyrdek segment of the week.
You gotta be kidding me.
You're kidding me.
You're kidding me.
Are you kidding me?
This guy, are you kidding me?
Kidding me.
But you're kidding me or what?
You've gotta be kidding me.
You gotta be kidding me.
You've gotta be kidding me.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
You gotta be kidding me. I wanna hear if you guys agree with this one. You gotta be kidding me that you can't flex out Sunday night games. That we have to sit through this Ben DiNucci, broken Cowboy, and I know they're America's team. I know everyone likes the Eagles in Philadelphia. It's a big city. But this game stunk. Carson Wentz, I know they won. Not good. No. Horrible.
Turnover machine.
He made the Cowboys defense in the first half look good.
And they suck.
They're not good.
Horrible.
Collinsworth said it perfectly. He was like,
they were miserable.
He said Wentz tries to do this all the time where he tries to like make up for like a shitty play and make it turn it into something, right? And it ends up costing them, right?
Right.
Like that first fumble that he had where he's trying to throw across his body and like,
what is he doing?
Just gets wrecked and fumbles the ball in his own territory.
You're out of the pocket. Throw the ball away. It's not like you didn't see that DB who was 15 yards up the field
gunning right at you.
Beeline for you. Yeah. Throw the ball away. I know you're athletic and you can beat guys with your legs, but only at certain times. When you're on the edge like that, yeah, you got to throw it away. You got to take the safe play.
He did the same thing with that doogie, that pick he had in the end zone as well.
Yeah. Are we getting closer to agreeing with me or no? Still no?
I think he's I think he's an athletic quarterback. He's got a lot of potential.
I'm not saying he's not on
but
athletic.
I don't think he's there in the head.
I think
so you're closer to me.
Yeah. I think he's a guy who plays to his competition a lot, where he can rise to the competition and look really, really good sometimes. And I think his athleticism lets him get around certain plays, and he makes these fantastic eye-popping plays where you're like, how did he do that?
Sure.
And the one that comes to mind is like last year where he's like getting tackled on literally like slanted and still throws the ball 15 yards.
He throws some crazy balls.
He does throw some crazy balls. And I think, unfortunately, Josh, what you're not going to get is enough of enough competition from the rest of the NFC East to really cement in your claim, because they're going to win the NFC East.
Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, they won the game, you know? I mean, he's still winning football games. They've won three games now at this point. They've tied one.
I really don't think he's a top 16 quarterback I'd want to have in the league.
Top 16? He's definitely not top 10. No chance.
No.
No. And he was being...
Some of those rookies are ahead of him already.
I would rather have Herbert and Burrow over him. For sure. Forward. From what I've seen this year.
Maybe even Tua.
Too early to tell.
Too early to tell. But
You know what Tua did a fantastic job of today?
Managing the game.
Yes. Managing the game. He did not try and do too much.
Sweet.
He's a great head coach. Yeah. They might be the best team in that division.
It could. Yeah, maybe.
I think they're like a year away. I think. Remember we were sitting out with the Padres last year?
I'm just not.
I think that's where they are this year.
I'm just not thrilled with what the Buffalo Bills do game in, game out.
Neither am I. I think they played down to the Jets. They played down to the Patriots, who Cam to A doesn't look good. Our weapons suck.
Yeah, they're terrible.
I mean, listen to this, though. The Bills' point differential this season is -1. The Dolphins is plus 58.
Fucking love that stat, Nick. Good for you for using your computer.
Yeah.
It's a great stat.
It's a great stat.
Yeah. I mean, well, the Dolphins are the only team in that division with a plus point differential.
I was never high on Josh Allen.
Jets
last
are
year.
Minus 144.
Oh my gosh.
They're horrible. They're one of the worst teams.
They haven't even scored 100 points this season.
They're one of the worst teams I've ever seen, not only in football but in any professional sport ever. Yeah. Ever.
Are they going to win a game this season?
No. Yeah. What? No.
Nope.
No chance.
Their best receiver today. Well, I guess Mims had a couple plays.
He hasn't even played yet this year. It was his second game. Second game.
Braxton Berrios was their most effective receiver today.
Who the Patriots cut.
I literally looked at Braxton Berrios. I was watching this game, and I'm like, shit, if you're in a PPR, Berrios has caught, like, he's caught a lot of passes. And then I looked at his stat line, and he was like 8 for 26 or something like that. And I was like, that is not good.
No.
Side note on that game.
Yeah.
I saw something really cool. Tyreek Hill already tied with Randy Moss for the most touchdowns over 40 yards.
Wow.
I mean,
I don't know what you expect.
He's been playing for like 4 years, right?
No one can stay with that guy. The cheetah is unbelievable.
I was explaining the Chiefs offense, and I want to get back to that flexing point we had at the top of the segment, but the Chiefs offense is just so perfect, and honestly, Le'Veon Bell is the best backup running back you could have for the offense,
because
you have two guys on the outside, in Hill and Hardman, who are arguably two of the 10 fastest receivers in the league, the guy with the best arm in the league, so you're spreading it out.
You have best tight end in the league.
Guy who's too fast for a linebacker, too big for a safety, and he could fit right in the pocket. He crushes the middle of the field, and if you have to check it down to Edwards-Helaire or Le'Veon Bell, they're two great running backs to have there.
And you're calling the plays.
Andy Reid, offensive mastermind. And you also have Patrick Mahomes who can stretch.
And Bieniemy, who's going to be a head coach next
year. And you have Patrick Mahomes who, any third and five, he can turn into a first down with his legs as well.
Yeah, he's
RPO specialist.
He's one of the best athletes in the world.
Yeah.
He just like is.
It's tough to debate.
I was thinking about that as well. I'll just mention it now. That I was having a conversation about that Chiefs offense, and I was having a conversation which turned into a conversation about Mike Trout, because you guys know I like to comp Mike Trout to Pat Mahomes, which turned into a conversation about
Mookie. Mike Trout should win some championships first.
Which turned into a conversation about Mookie, which made me realize, and you guys know I love Mookie Betts. He's my favorite player.
Yeah.
But it made me realize that he's not only such a great baseball player, he may be one of the best athletes in the world.
Oh, there was a video that ESPN put up this week of Mookie running routes in football.
Bowling.
He's bowled a perfect game. He's bowled 300.
He may be one of the best athletes in the world.
I think for me, like we were talking about this last week in the same conversation, not with you, someone else. Mookie Betts is definitely in there. Odell Beckham is definitely in there. I've seen him kick field goals.
What about Baby Braun?
Baby Braun?
Baby Braun, a.k.a. DK Metcalf. Well, Braun came out and said the DK Metcalf. He called him Baby Braun.
So I was about to bring him up as well. 22 years old. He'll be 20. To be 23, I think, in December.
He's huge.
He is the biggest freak in the NFL. It's him and Aaron Donald. But receiver-wise, on the opposite of the ball.
Yeah, but look, Josh and I, we've told you this before. When we saw Aaron Donald
he's shorter than
in Miami, he's like your height. Like as much as a physical specimen, he's wide. He's wide as a house. But so is Fletcher Cox. I know. Like, he's really big.
Right.
DK is like a physical specimen, and it translates.
Right. He's like a Giannis of football.
Exactly.
He's like the closest thing I've seen to like Megatron.
Yeah. He's got the speed.
Like, I thought Julio was like Megatron.
When he hit that,
Julio's more like Randy.
And he catches that ball coming across the middle today on the long touchdown that DK had, and he
takes it
on the sideline with like a ballerina, expert balance, and maintains that same just bolt lightning speed.
So fast.
Unbelievable.
And I was watching it today, and we were thinking to ourselves, how did anyone doubt this guy? Because, yeah, he had a really slow, like, three-cone drill, whatever, at the combine, slower than Tom Brady or something. But this guy is lighting the league on fire. People said he couldn't run routes. He can only run straight downfield, and he's proving everybody wrong. He looks like the best receiver in the NFL right now.
Because people get shit wrong all the time.
The Seahawks did not get this one wrong.
Seahawks rarely do. Seahawks drafted Richard Sherman where? In the fifth fucking round. Cam Chancellor where? fifth round.
Rashad Penny might be a mistake, but
He's had some hit or misses.
Yeah, look, Rashad Penny last year was fantastic 1-2 punch we were talking about.
He's had some misses in the first round.
They're a plug and play like running back team, kind of like the Niners.
Yeah, look, but DJ Dallas came in and had a great day
today.
Exactly.
Chris Carson, like, come on.
They're good at finding hidden gems. You don't win. Look, you can get a superstar in the first round. I mean, you get a superstar anywhere, but you're more likely to get a superstar in the first round. But you need to hit on – that's how Belichick's made his money. He hits on rounds 2 through 4 all the time. Yeah, I'm missing the first round. But you got to get your starters out there. And the Seahawks do an excellent job of that. And there's guys like, how does that guy fall? Because guys – there's people that are not good at their job. Bill O'Brien, president of the United States. Like, people just stink at their job.
I meant to ask you this because I heard
what do I think's going
to
happen on Tuesday?
No, no, please. We don't need to get into that. But I saw this on ESPN. I saw a couple of analysts talking about this, and they were saying that, and I wanted to ask your opinion about this, obviously, because you're a Patriots fan.
Yeah.
What do you think about Bill Belichick as general manager versus Bill Belichick as a head coach? Mm. Is he completely is it almost to the point right now of recent that if he weren't the GM, you would be totally okay with that? And if he were just the head coach going forward, that's where he fits best?
Well, I don't know. I think he's a very good GM. I think he's great.
You don't think
he's dicked the team?
He's missed a lot
recently.
In the last 3 years, he's missed a lot.
The Isaiah Wynn injury you cannot predict. N'Keal Harry does not look great. Obviously,
he missed it.
Sony Michel pick was terrible.
Well, Sony was good his rookie year, then he got hurt. Mm. And the offensive line got...
He's not going to be on that team next season.
Fine. There's been a lot of things that have not gone the Patriots' way that people just neglect. I'm not even just talking about Tom Brady leaving. I'm talking about David Andrews missing all of last year. And say what you will, there was a problem with Dallas to start, and it starts right in the center. Yeah, left tackle is wildly important, but once Travis Frederick was done for the Cowboys, that offensive line began to crumble.
Guys opt out, too.
Shaq Mason's not playing right now. We have a bunch of guys on defense that have opted out. I mean, like, we're missing a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess what they were talking about was, do we think that Brady was masking more of these errors than we realized, and now we're only seeing it now because he's gone?
I mean, he did a great... Tooney, he's drafted. Mason, he's drafted. Marcus Cannon, who's opted out, he's drafted. David Andrews, he's drafted. I mean, he does an excellent... Isaiah Wynn drafted before that. Nate Sol. He does an excellent job finding these guys and drafting these guys. And McCourty brought them. One of the McCourtys brought in the other one. Signed Stephon Gilmore, who won Defensive Player of the Year last year? Him.
Yeah.
Like, it's... No,
it's
I,
you know,
I,
it's
I'm
just
a
one
fan
of those things where it's like, look, the NFL, it comes and goes in waves. Teams are good. Teams are bad. It's not like in college where, like, Alabama can dominate for 20, 30 years. Like, it's the Pats. People are used to them winning constantly. They've had a winning record since, like, 2000.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, they're due to have a bad season, and people can't freak out about it. Obviously, it's not normal.
Well, they're going to. I don't know. He's built this resume for himself where success is the norm. It's the norm.
No, it's the norm. But I mean, look at Rome. You know, it fell.
Look at Danny Ainge.
It's got to fall one day.
Danny Ainge took the Celtics to the top, and they took a quick dive down, and then it's got him back.
You
up
look at
again.
The Lakers. You know, I mean, they were the hottest team in the NBA in the early 2000s, and took them a while to get back until, you know, LeBron got there.
Yeah, I think but on the subject of like the same guy running the team, I don't mind it. It's an interesting point. For sure. It's an interesting point.
I mean, I thought the point was more relevant for Tom and what he brings to an organization and the type of leadership that can really be just kind of, you know, pushed out from the quarterback position. When the quarterback just radiates that energy and competitiveness, like, you're seeing this team is just getting better and better. And look, the Saints had another kind of rocky win today where they pulled it out. But
I'm with you. I think you and I are on this train. I'm curious to see what your opinions are of the, because I know you're a Saints guy. You like the Saints.
I enjoy watching the Saints.
Oh,
the
I mean,
Bucks,
I think
the Bucks are the best team in that division.
I agree.
I don't think it's
no. I agree.
I
with
don't
that.
Think it's a question.
I think they've really overachieved.
We've been on that defense for a year now.
Now they're adding Antonio Brown
next week. I mean, yeah, that team is really, really good. But I think, like,
are they not the best team in the NFC?
Yeah, for sure. They beat the Packers, who I thought. The Packers, Steelers.
Who dropped one to a Vikings team whose record isn't as bad as
next year. I still think Seattle's the number one team in the NFC.
I don't know.
even though their defense just can't do anything?
I do not think so. I think their defense has problems. Mm. And I think Brady gets in there with Brown, Evans, Godwin, and Gronkowski and tears them up.
I don't know.
And two good running backs, Leonard Fournette and Rodeo.
If Kyler can beat them, I think Tom can.
Yeah, I mean, I think any team because in the NFL can beat any team.
They practice against Russ.
At some point, yeah. Besides the Jets. They're not beating anybody. But, yeah.
Hey, we saw it today with the Titans and the Bengals.
Exactly.
But speaking of kind of going back, one team that hasn't lost yet is the Steelers. And they played the Ravens, a rivalry game, almost as big of a rivalry
in
as
Baltimore.
In Baltimore as Eagles versus
the boys.
The boys. And that game, I know we're on East is on East Coast is 1 p.m. on West Coast is 10 a.m. How can that not be flexed to Sunday night?
Yeah, how is that not possible?
It was a great game.
Came down the last possession.
It's a great game. A division, you know, that could mean the division right there.
Right. Obviously, yeah. We were talking about it before we got on the mics. The Dallas Philly game probably got a lot more views than we thought. It got a lot of views. It's those two teams. There's a lot of fans for both of those sides. They're going to tune into that game. It's well watched, but so would have that Baltimore game and the Steelers game.
It would have been a great end to the night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer. It's like that was a fantastic game.
Yeah. It's like the
Steelers
are
gritty.
Yeah. It's like when you're like, you have a, like, listen, there's three DJs throughout the night at a festival, Nick.
There's usually more, but
no, like
we'll stick with three.
Not a festival, a concert. We'll do a concert.
Okay. Well, there's usually more, but. Yeah, we'll
the relevant ones.
Yeah, I'm not talking about
the headliners.
Yeah. Okay.
Not all the opening acts.
Yeah, listen, I've been there.
Like we're past like the first three opening acts.
I'm talking like the real opening act, the main guy, and the guy who follows after, who's supposed to be, who can be sick. First guy comes up, crushes. Wow, that guy was sick. Who was that? We have to go see him when he becomes the headliner. Headliner comes on, obviously gives us a great show. And then you have a great opportunity if you're the guy that's backed up because everyone's on such a high. No one wants to go home after that headliner and everyone's still cruising. And you have a great opportunity to crush it. And I feel like the NFL, week in and week out, doesn't do that.
Yeah.
It just kills the party.
Well, I mean, they've been doing it for a while with Thursday Night Football. It's starting to get better. They were doing it for a while with Monday Night Football. I mean, this week we have the Bucks and the Giants.
Who's,
I mean, that's going to be a blowout.
Who's doing that? Dude, who wants... You want to watch that tomorrow?
No. I'm going to watch it, but I don't want to.
We run a sports podcast. I'm watching it for work.
It's the only football game, so I'm going to watch it. It's the only real... There's not many sports going on right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to watch it, but if I didn't have to... If there were a basketball game, if there were a hockey game on, and it was with two good teams,
baseball?
I would, yeah, or if the baseball game, and it was two good teams, I would watch it, and I would watch those other sports, and I would be on my phone checking the score.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it had fantasy implications, obviously, we're watching.
Yeah. It kind of does for me.
Potentially, but a lot of times, fantasy matchups are already determined by the time you get to the Monday night game.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some fantasy.
Yeah, we get into fantasy. That's a great point. I one league, I mean, Miles Sanders can't stay on the field, plus the Saquon injury, plus Lockett is either unbelievable or goose egg.
Yeah.
Devontae Parker was meh. He had that one touchdown, which was sweet, but he had like 3 yards. And then
is this your team that we're talking about here?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I had Tyler Boyd, who's been great. Allen, who's been slowing down massively.
Yeah.
And then now I have Gronkowski tomorrow, but I had Amari Cooper tonight. Listen, I was in my team stunk this weekend, but I was down 16 going into tomorrow, and all he had was Scotty Miller, and I had Amari Cooper and Gronk. Like, should be feeling pretty good. Should be feeling pretty solid.
And yeah, but Amari did nothing.
Now I'm going to lose.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Because Scotty Miller he's probably going to outperform Gronkowski unless Gronk scores two touchdowns.
Gronk needs to score two touchdowns and Scotty Miller needs to not play.
Basically.
Which I don't think is going to happen.
Yeah, I think you're kind of at the point from a fantasy standpoint where Cowboys players are almost becoming unplayable. Unless it doesn't matter who's behind the helm for them. It doesn't matter who's under center. If they have no protection, they can't get the ball out.
It's becoming a disaster.
Cooper looks like he doesn't even want to play. A lot of these guys look like they don't even want to play on this team.
Well, why would you? Now you're just risking injury. You're not making the playoffs.
Yeah. It's not a good situation for Cowboys players. definitely not a good situation for them in fantasy. I have some teams that have been brutalized by injury as well. I had a team with Saquon, Mostert, Odell Beckham.
Oh God.
Oof.
I'm 4-4.
I'm about to be 4-4 in the Saquon thing too.
I have Lamar, who's been a total disappointment. I used high draft capital to go after him and get him, and he's been not great. But he has a smash ending to the season. He has Cincinnati, Giants, Cowboys, a couple of other teams who he's gonna run all over.
Right.
And hopefully they're still playing for the division at that point, and he's still competing, which would be pretty
two
big.
Two losses.
Yeah.
To play for the bye, it's worth it. It's well worth it. It's well worth it. But that somehow I played my way. I got Chase Claypool off the waiver wire. I got Boston Scott off the waiver wire. So I've just been
Chase Claypool's Canadian. Do you guys know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty swag.
Yeah. Mapletron. That's his.
Mapletron. I like that.
I like
his nickname.
You're 6-1 in one league, Nick.
Yeah, I've got a league where I'm just absolutely crushed.
I feel like you just rooked all those guys in the draft.
Well, it was an auction draft. So it's like if you really want someone in that draft, you can get him because you're gonna pay for it, right? It's not like a luck of the draw thing where a guy kind of steals the pick right ahead of you.
Yeah.
If you really want Dalvin Cook, and I wanted Dalvin Cook, paid top dollar for him, and look, he scored 51 points today.
He is amazing.
He had an amazing day fantasy wise through like 2.5 quarters, and it was when he had already had. Two touchdowns.
He had three touchdowns in like the first half.
He had already had two touchdowns, and then I pick up my head, and he busts out like a 45-yarder, and I was like, this guy doesn't stop.
No. I just have one issue with him. I really just have one. He just never plays a full 16.
Yeah. Ever. I mean, he's already lost one game this season.
One's pretty good, though. I mean, if you're – look at some of these other guys. We're talking about Miles Sanders. We're talking about Joe Mixon, who's out. Saquon's done. Zeke – has basically been eradicated because he's ineffective.
Exactly.
Look at all those other high profile running backs. I mean, he and Derrick Henry are the two top, and Alvin Kamara, the three guys that are still the ones who are kind of untarnished.
Right. Yeah. No, it's tough. I mean, every league that I'm in three leagues.
Yeah.
I've had some injury issues.
Yeah, of course. Everyone has.
But they're not issues that are going to keep me out of it because I've got McCaffrey's coming back in two leagues. I've got Eckler that's coming back in the Dalvin Cook league. So I'm sitting pretty there. But 7-1 because I just got to win this week. Which is crazy because all the leagues that I've been seeing, no one's winning that many games, which is crazy.
I've definitely seen across
the
board.
There's a lot of
parity. Yeah, I've seen across the board a lot of lower scores overall than normal just because of injuries, guys sitting out, the weird COVID stuff with buys and whatnot.
I'm not having as much fun.
I'm having a great time.
If you're wondering.
I like it. I feel like there's a lot more moves to be made.
One league, my team is... My team actually may be as on par with that team.
Well, so let me just tell you real quickly.
Yeah.
I think this team is successful because I kind of took a different approach. It's not that different, but I didn't go after like the sexiest names like at the beginning of the draft, right? Like I took AJ Brown and DK Metcalf, and like beginning of the season, people still valued Julio and Michael Thomas.
Those are sophomore wide receivers,
and they're two of the best. They're two top five wide receivers around fantasy football. And they're going off. I have them as my 1 and 2. I've got Kenny Galladay as well, who we're all high on, who's injured a lot. But, I mean, when he plays, he's good.
Dope.
Darren Waller. I've got Dalvin Cook, and I've got Eckler waiting to come back.
Look,
Josh Allen's my starting quarterback, and he's been playing great. Benched him this week for Joe Burrow. Worked out great.
All those guys, exactly to your point, Nick, are like, Waller was – he was not going to be your Zach Ertz. Yeah, he was not going to be your Travis Kelce, but he was that third or fourth guy that you were going to go after. I have him in two leagues. Super excited. I took DK as well. In that league where I lost Odell and I lost Saquon, DK has kept me in it.
Yeah.
He's really – and I also have some of you guys – I think a couple of the leagues y'all play in don't have defense and don't have kicker. My kicker is Young Weku, and my defense is the Indianapolis Colts.
So where I missed
for some of the skill position players, I have the best kicker and I have the best defense, and that has kept me in every single week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, defense got 23 points this week.
I think I'm the only one in the head coach league where I don't have a defense or a kicker. I have, but this is the team I really think this is one of the better teams I've had. And not aside from the team where I went 15-0. This team is Kyler and Burrow as my quarterbacks.
You're a 2QB league.
With Bridgewater as the backup.
So you're a college league?
Yeah, with Bridgewater as the backup. My running backs are Kamara and Jacobs.
Oof.
And my receivers are Devontae Adams, AJ Brown, who I share with you, Nick, and Scary Terry.
Nice.
Which is,
I mean, in
tight end.
And honestly, Josh Jacobs has been underperforming.
Ertz.
Oof, that's tough.
But my backup tight end, Jared Cook.
Oh. Jared Cook, who's been good. Cook.
Michael Thomas dicked us, Toss.
Yeah, he really did. And that's I have him in another league, and it's a PPR, and it's really costing me. In my home league, my high school league that I like hold near and dear to my heart, it's my most important league to me. That one is a standard league, which makes it really interesting because the PPR doesn't matter if they're a machine. Braxton Berrios sucks in this league. But that one, I'm like really, my team in this one is, I'm really happy with it. And it took some time over the season to kind of get there.
You're a traitor.
And I'm about to
make wheel and deal.
In this league, I'm like moves left, right, front and center.
It's crazy.
And I'll be 5-3 after this week. And I have Kyler, James Conner, Miles Gaskin, Metcalf, Devontae Adams, Kelsey, Devontae Parker, and then just like an assortment of guys who can, like Rager I just picked up, who's going to, I think he could be impactful going forward. Claypool I have on the bench. Chase Edmonds is about to take the starting spot for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's going to be effective before Drake is healthy. Zach Moss, who just went off today, who I think finally can, I said he was going to get into that position where he was going to be their goal line back, and I think he's finally going to get there. This is just one of those teams where I'm just kind of like, I had the Eagles D today, so they dominated, obviously. Yeah. Just kind of wheeling and dealing. Sometimes that's what you got to, the best way to stay in it in a fantasy football league, my advice, is to stay active.
Yeah.
To stay active because people will fall off.
Yes and no. Stay active.
You have to hit in the draft, obviously.
If you're hitting in the draft and your team is good, stay the course. There's definitely teams that make like two moves all season or just blow people away. This I'm fortunate to like not have that many injuries with this draft that I had. But I also am a big fan of using the waiver wire, not for people, for my starters, though. Taking people off the market, right?
You have to know who other people have.
Exactly. What I see, I'm like, okay, well, that's a great receiver, a great running back. Yeah. That's got a lot of potential. That, like, do I need him? No, but, you know, he's going to replace this shitty wide receiver that I have on my bench that I'm going to take away from all the other people that want them.
Yeah.
So you got to play a little bit of defense by using the waiver wire. But
yeah,
I've done a great job making some waiver wire pickups as well with T. Higgins.
Big one. Yeah.
I mean, he's been great. You know, I've picked up who's the guy for fucking spacing out? Fulgham. Travis Fulgham. He's been great.
Fantastic. Caught another touchdown today.
Exactly.
So, he is the creator of Bumble.
Travis Fulgham.
He's not the creator.
That's
Bumble.
What one of our roommates said today, Nick. Oh, cool. Try to trick me.
I believe that the action.
Did you guys know I did a Bumble commercial in college?
Of course. I've seen it.
Yeah. I think that creator of Bumble's last name is Fulgham. I think that that's where the connection is. But it is not Travis Fulgham.
It's hilarious.
Who went to where? Old Dominion?
Yeah, he did go to, he's from Virginia. That's why he went there.
He's Virginian?
Yeah. Well, Nick, I'm pulling for your 6-1 team.
Well, that's my big league. That's the one where
That's the money maker.
I've gotten second place in that league for 4 straight years. So
you're due.
I'm very due. It's a running joke here in this league.
Wow,
people only get second place.
Ooh,
someone could compare you to in that league. You're pretty much like the Dodgers, and this is your year.
Or the Bills in the 90s that could never get it done.
Can never get it done. Four Falls of Buffalo. Here we'll do one. Pack your bags, take a fork in yourself. You're done.
Pack your bags, Pete.
Pack your bags. Go back to Nowheresville.
Stick a fork in them. They're done.
Pack your bags, take a fork in yourself. You're done. To the fans' interest in college football this season.
Cool. We can align with the same segment because I'm talking about that.
Awesome, Nick. Excited to see. Look, I love college sports. I like college football in a normal season more than the NFL sometimes.
Yeah.
There's
I can see that.
Too much parity between the top three teams. Now, Notre Dame may catch lightning in a bottle because they have Clemson without Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
But DJ looked great. He was not the issue.
I think Clemson will be fine.
I think they'll be fine, too, is my point. I think Notre Dame is still not even in that class. I don't even think they're better than Georgia or Florida, who play each other this week in a very telling game. Alabama, to me, is, I think, the number one team. I think
even with Trevor Lawrence healthy at Clemson?
Yeah. I think Mac Jones, Najee Harris, and Devonta Smith are an absolute force.
It's
tough to say.
They blew the fuck out of Mississippi State this week. So.
And then Ohio State is right there with them.
Yeah, they're great.
So they're all three there. But then when I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the rankings, and I pull it up yesterday or this morning, and I'm looking at it, and Cincinnati is number 6.
BYU is like in the top 10, right?
BYU is number 9, but they have Zach Wilson who could be a
That's the thing. I'm kind of pulling for BYU this year because I think Zach Wilson's swag, and it'd be fun to see them actually make a run for the playoff.
I'm with you. Now, what I'm not with anybody on, you cannot tell me that Coastal Carolina is the 15th best team in the nation. Better than OU. Better than
Texas.
Than Texas. Better than Auburn. Better than Michigan. You can't tell me that Marshall is the number 16 team in the nation. You can't tell me that Liberty, who I didn't even know they had a football team,
is the number 25th.
What's going on?
It's ridiculous.
What are we doing?
We said it last time. I mean, it's the season's a wash. Like this,
I hate that.
It's not a real college football season. Like Pac-12 hasn't even started yet.
And USC's ranked number 20. They're 0-0.
Well, that's the only reason why.
It's a joke.
Right? Yeah, they want to get these other teams involved while they can and give them something to talk about for their program. And I get it.
Texas beat Oklahoma State.
It's not valid.
So that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
As Texas fans here, I spoke with a lot of Texas fans about this.
Yeah.
For the game. And a lot of people wanted us to lose so we can fired Tom Herman Hooker.
Oh, come on.
Okay, but listen. I'm on board to fire him, but for the right guy. And to me, there's only one right guy.
And it's Urban.
It's Urban Meyer.
Sure.
That's the only guy that I can see fitting in at Texas. Who else could you actually see taking over? Okay, we tried Charlie Strong. Didn't work.
Yeah.
We tried Tom Herman. It's not working out. You need to go after a big household name. Not an up-and-comer. Not a young, savvy guy. You need a guy who has done it before. And Urban's done it with Florida. He's done it with Ohio State. He's done it in two of the 5 power conferences.
He was great at Utah.
He's even, yeah, he's been better than Tom's been.
He's good.
Yeah.
There you go. He's been everywhere, and he's got it done everywhere.
Yeah.
Now come to the Big 12 and turn Texas around and build on that legacy.
Hey, Big 12, we'll see if Caleb Williams can overtake Spencer Rattler next year because that kid's gross. But to me, the Big 12 is pretty up for grabs. It's
wide open.
With the right guy at the helm, Texas can do it.
And Oklahoma State
a little does Elmer that Fudd shit moment
all the time. They get ranked super high and blow it.
Yeah,
there was a 6 team going into this week and they blow it. That goes to my point too. Every season.
Well, I think
it's 6 team.
I think it's also that Texas.
They're not the 6th best.
We've seen that when this team is focused. That the personnel that they have.
It wasn't a pretty game either.
That the talent that they have.
It was not a pretty game.
No, but Joseph Osai is
a first round talent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's great.
If he's not Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week, then someone's making the wrong decisions.
I mean, our defensive backfield plays
Swiss cheese.
Mindless. Sometimes.
Swiss cheese, holes everywhere.
But I get so annoyed. And listen, don't get me wrong. We'll smack talk the team and we'll complain. I will never root for the Horns to lose.
Yeah, well, there's no point in tanking.
Right, you can't lose.
You're not
tanking for that.
For anything.
Right, there's
it's not the NFL.
There's no tanking.
Here's what happens too. If you're rooting for us to lose, we lose. I mean, obviously, you rooting for us to lose has no effect on whether the team wins or loses. But what it does is, if our team loses, we're going to lose. We've already lost a lot of recruits.
Yeah,
we cannot afford
Quinn Ewers. Whatever, that's why he left. I didn't know his name correctly.
Yeah, Southlake Dragons, Quinn Ewers has already decommitted.
The number one prospect recruit in all of college football.
Smells blood in the water.
And our highest recruit in the 2021 class, Sia. Our second highest recruit, rumored to potentially decommit as well. And our three stars, which look, you find value in these 3 stars, just went to A&M.
I think we can get Quinn back. Because he's like a life Texas kid, but he just said he wanted a bigger recruiting process. And I understand that, right? Like, you want to be able to visit school.
He's got time, too.
Yeah, he's a junior.
He's got time.
I was shocked.
I was pretty shocked, too, but this is what happens.
That he committed that early. I was like, what's going on here?
There's all this negative buzz that's around the Horns right now, and it seemingly looks like a lot of the times that Herman is very wishy-washy with like the way that he talks about the team. He never really likes to give us much insight into it. It's always just like we had good practices. Our players aren't playing disciplined. And again, undisciplined play.
That's what I was about to say.
We got marred by penalties in this game.
Oh, my God.
We were defensive pass interference all the time. And it's like these guys just don't trust their skill sets, and it's really frustrating to watch.
The whole coaching staff for me needs to go. The offensive play
in
call.
1 year.
The offensive play call is so like uncreative and it's not as effective. I mean, Sam is putting the team on his fucking back, right? He can only do so much.
He's
the defense is Swiss cheese. I know it's a Big 12 defense, but you're the University of Texas. You're locking down four and five star recruits left and right. That secondary should be able to cover receivers. I don't know why, but college cornerbacks are so bad.
So bad.
So bad. They never turn their head around when they're in coverage. It seems like every time that a receiver goes up for a ball, there's a guy just face guarding them or there's a pass interference. There's so many pass interferences that happen in college football.
And
receivers also moss the fuck out of corners.
Always.
There was the Penn State catch was crazy.
Back to back. That guy had a back to back. He mossed him once, and the next play, one handed grab, like frozen the air.
Yeah.
Thing about it is that none of the corners, I feel like, realizes that half of these quarterbacks aren't going to make it to the pros. More than half aren't going to make it to the pros. They're not that good.
Two of them are.
Yeah, it's like 10 of these guys are going to make it to the pros, and three of them are going to be, two of them are going to be starters. Like, you look at what the talent that these quarterbacks have. Half the time that you're talking about these defensive pass interferences, the ball's 7 yards away from them.
Throw.
It doesn't even matter. It's an uncatchable ball, but they're just losing the play on a flag.
Are coaches just like not teaching cornerbacks to turn their fucking head around when it comes to
I think the better player, like the cornerback to receiver, is a more comparable position. And most people want to play on offense. Most people want to play wide receiver. It's a sexier position. Cornerback is not a desirable position to play in the NFL. It's not an easy position
to
play.
It's hard. It's so hard.
It's hard as shit. And that's why,
it's the position you get exposed the most,
for
sure.
Yeah, and you see it in the NFL, too. There's guys. I mean, look at the Metcalf, Lockett. Lockett went for 200. Devontae Adams had 3 touchdowns today. DK Metcalf had 100 yards at the half.
Well, I get it. I definitely get it. It's not the sexiest position, but I mean, there's guys that are ballers that love it. You know, I mean, they're out there.
A few, but not as many as like.
I feel like that's why the guys that are that good are that good for that long. There's a lot of corners who have had long tenures in the NFL and have been really good for a long time.
Yeah.
Because when it's so much of it is that mental battle.
It's an ego thing.
Yeah.
Sure. When you look at the persona of the guys who do that, like you look at the Revises, the Shermans, right? The Josh Normans, you know, the Jalen Ramsey, those guys are all big personalities that talk shit, that shut people down. Deion Sanders, same thing. They all do it. They all have that
swagger. Yeah.
Said, yeah. I mean, Revis is one of the best players I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it was a gritty win by the Horns. Very much an open Big 12 hunt for sure. I feel good about our team. OU had a nice bounce back game. They looked fantastic this weekend.
Yeah, they played against Tech.
One of my
friends goes,
we played a bad game against Tech.
Yeah,
one of my friends starts analyzing the schedule, and he starts getting, we control our. And one guy goes, don't do this to yourself. do this to yourself now. All that being said.
Yeah, I mean, now it's a cakewalk. Now it's a cakewalk. We've played all our tough opponents.
We play Iowa State and Kansas State still.
And Baylor.
We've
already played Baylor?
We beat Baylor.
We beat Baylor last week.
West Virginia.
We were drunk.
West Virginia. We were drunk.
West Virginia, Kansas State, Iowa State is what we got left.
We should win out. I mean, we should win out.
Now, if we win out, that means
making a playoff.
No. Okay, listen, I'm not drunk right now. If we went out, we beat Kansas State, we beat Iowa State.
Big 12 championship against OU.
That's what we're going to have.
Or Oklahoma State.
Or because they play each other.
Yeah, winner of that game. Which, it's probably going to be OU because they're
I think, yeah, they're just going to get better as the season progresses.
And you know what? We played a really close game against them, and that went to overtime, and I think we can beat them.
I don't want to bash. I know our corners looked really, really bad, but I think that as far as outside of the discipline situation that we're talking about, up front, Ash came in with the mindset of shutting down Chuba Hubbard, and we did shut him down.
We did, yeah.
He went like 20. He had 27 carries for like 70 yards.
But Sanders, their quarterback, went the fuck off. Like,
but I think that's. But that was his. That was the best game of his entire career. We wanted him to do that.
Tylan Wallace is ridiculous.
Yeah, the guy's a stud.
They always have that guy.
I watch with, that was their big takeaway.
I was talking with our roommate, and he was he mentioned that he was at like the first game that they played in their new stadium in 2008, and I was like thinking about it. I was like, who was okay? Obviously, Dez was playing back then. Dez was fantastic. Then we had Blackman right after that. Then James Washington. But who was the quarterback? Do you guys remember who the quarterback was?
Brandon Whedon?
No. It was before Brandon Whedon. He wore one. He was a white guy. Wore a white sleeve on his right arm, his throwing arm. His name was Zach Robinson.
Yeah.
He's one of the offensive like assistants for the Rams right now, actually, which I didn't know.
I remember him.
Yeah, Whedon, he was good.
Whedon's a great call. Whedon was like 28 when he was drafted, 27.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He was Blackman's quarterback.
Whedon was after with Blackman. Yeah.
Blackman was such a disappointment. He won back-to-back Biletnikoff Awards.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
And he ended up in not a good place to be at the time.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
In Jacksonville.
See, guess what? Still not a good place to be.
No, it's not. It's not, but we've seen guys that have been there now who have had some success.
Yeah.
DJ Chark, he's good. DJ Chark is good when he's healthy.
But you know what? When they leave Jacksonville, they're great. Like, look at Allen Robinson, right?
Yeah. Allen Robinson, he's a real talent. He's very special.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm interested to see next week. Jacksonville, I believe, is not starting Gardner. They're starting the backup. I don't even think it's Glennon. I think it's a different guy.
The rookie?
Yeah.
The rookie Jake something?
I think so.
I think they're going Glennon.
That's not what I heard.
I don't know. That game's a snooze fest. Yeah, game's a snooze fest. I think college football, I would like to see. Now, next week, we have Florida versus Georgia, which I'm pretty stoked about. We have maybe Indiana versus Michigan can be good. Ditto with Boise State, BYU. We have some good games. So I will be – the Pac-12 starts this weekend, which is exciting. So I have some excitement going forward.
Ooh.
Hopefully things will change.
I'll save my breath.
That's all I'm going to say on that.
Jake Luton. That's his name.
Jake Luton. Gluten?
Gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
Jake Luton-free.
Yeah.
Luton-free.
Yeah.
If he goes off, you've got to pick him up and make that your fantasy team.
Yeah. Now the times are gone where I used to pick someone up just for the name, just to have on my bench.
Yeah, now you take it too seriously.
In some leagues, yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's fair enough. Cool, guys. Fun one, good one. We'll send
basically just football going on right now.
Yeah, I know. I miss baseball.
Yeah.
Now I really miss baseball. Sad, sad, sad. All right. Well, NFL, NBA draft coming up. So get excited for that.
NBA draft in November for sure. Going to be exciting.
Yep. To the fans out there, drag both feet and bound. Swing on a full count. Rip that puck at that putt. Hit your PKs because they're free. Hit your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they are free.
Because they're free. We out ya. We love ya.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.